You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Tangata whenua are central in the conservatorship and care that Aotearoa needs to give to Papatua Nuku. However, this has not always been recognised by New Zealand's government, and we are only where we are because tangata whenua have battled to be part of the korero. But is there more that can be done to centralise Māori in this place? Today, Connor speaks to Dr. Naomi Simmons, the co-director of Tuanuku, a business focused on assisting tangata whenua in their relationship with the environment. They speak about kaitiakitanga and its place in policy planning, the relationship with the government, and looking at the future of the relationship between Māori and the whenua. Here they are speaking now.
Who is Tuanuku?
Oh, kia ora, Connor. Well, he pāwhai pai tērā. It's a great question. Well, Tuanuku is myself and my business partner, Kerry Topoween. We started this particular company really because we were unhappy with the work that we were doing or being kind of stuck in an organisation and not having decision-making power over what work we were taking on and how that work was being carried out. But predominantly we set the business up because we're mothers of young children, and so we wanted to be able to do work that supported us to be mothers first and foremost, and then that supported us to do work to look after our ultimate mother, Papatuanuku, or our earth mother. So our work is designed primarily to support tangata whenua in their relationships to Papatuanuku and looking after her and being able to advocate for her and for the environment. So we've been going for a couple of years. We do all sorts of different things, which is great. We do look at, there's a real diverse range of projects, but we do ask ourselves a couple of questions before we do any work, and it predominantly is around, does this support our role as mothers to our children, and does this support our role and responsibility with looking after Papatuanuku and all that comes with that?
I know an important part of Tuanuku is kaitiakitanga, so I just wanted to ask, what is kaitiakitanga and how can we include this approach in policy planning when we're pertaining to the environment, Papatuanuku?
Yeah, so I think kaitiakitanga is different for every iwi and hapu, and every whānau and marae. We'll all have our own understandings of what that means. For us as a business, and for us personally, kaitiakitanga is an ethic of care, and it's an ethic of responsibility. And it's effectively a system of resource management that our ancestors have used for many, many generations, very successfully, in fact. So rather than translating it, or because people can look that up themselves, really how we see it as a system and an ethic of resource management that really transforms how we understand the environment and its role in our societies, and positions the environment at the centre. And asks us, or forces us, to consider our roles and responsibilities as people and our use of the environment as well. And it is a really pivotal part of our policy and resource management system in Aotearoa, and it has been for generations, but the way that it has been recognised in government policy particularly has been varied over the years. There has been, though, mechanisms within our policy and legislation for quite a number of years, particularly in the Resource Management Act, that actually has provision for recognising and supporting kaitiakitanga, but they have been inconsistently implemented across councils, and they haven't always been understood for the full potential that those mechanisms provide, I think.
You've already kind of touched on this, but as we look at government's processes around whenua and awa, do you think the systems we have in place are currently sufficient for tangata whenua's needs, or could they be improved?
I think tangata whenua in various parts of the country, or all around the motu, have fought really hard to get a number of really significant gains in our legislative and policy system with regards to a whole range of different ways of practising kaitiakitanga, right from co-management arrangements through to getting legal recognition of some of our some of our taonga, our waterways. I think there's always more that can be done. And I think kind of key to that is that the power sharing and resource sharing with regards to resource management needs to be considered in a more meaningful way if we're to uphold te tiriti and the partnership principles of te tiriti. So there's always more to do, but I don't want to take away from the, you know, many, many, many decades of work and you know, really hard work that tangata whenua have done at local government level, at iwi and hapu level, right through to kind of the United Nations, you know, the Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. You know, at every level, they've been working really hard to get acknowledgement. And so we've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go. And again, as I said, I think some of the inconsistencies in the way that those provisions are applied in our country and across different kind of council boundaries really shows that, you know, some gains in some areas don't always translate to the same gains in other geographical areas or other policy areas as well.
I just wanted to touch on what you said there about being applied in a more meaningful way. Do you have any examples of ways that it hasn't been or ways that it has, and or examples of what that could look like going forward?
Yeah, sadly, Connor, I have probably more examples of ways that it hasn't been applied than ways that it has. And I don't really want to focus too much on the ways that it hasn't. But to say that I think too many times we've seen, and we continue to see in the work that we do, that the intention by local government, by central government, seems to be good, but isn't followed up with things that actually create change and create meaningful change, as in, for example, they might not dedicate enough time to actually make that change. They might not dedicate, and they usually don't dedicate enough resource to make that change. So time and time again, for example, we see tangata whenua having to attend a range of different consultation hui, and that's all usually done voluntary, and it all usually is about responding to government needs and government priorities, and not actually looking at ways that the government can support the aspirations of iwi and hapu and the work that they want to be doing in terms of kaitiakitanga. So it divides our energies in terms of having to constantly be reactionary to the government, and or working alongside them, as well as trying to do work internally within our own iwi and hapu for things like restoration and re-engaging with mātauranga and reconnecting to our whenua and all of those things that are such a pivotal part, a crucial part of kaitiakitanga for us. The practice of kaitiakitanga is equally as important as the theory and the kind of policy frameworks that support it.
I just wanted to touch on climate change now, because as we're going forward, we continue to see the impact of climate change on our policy and people. And some of the policies have been in the past critiqued that it won't suit the needs of all people. And so I just wanted to know, in your view, how can we best make these solutions benefiting all people, and in particular tangata whenua?
Yeah, and I think that's really important. When we think about climate change in particular, it is connected to colonization, it's connected to capitalism, it's connected to a whole lot of systems that have continued to put tangata whenua and our mātauranga and our unique ways of being in the world in a in a marginalised position compared to what people might talk about as benefiting the masses. That hasn't worked in our favour by and large, due to colonisation and due to the fact that we are smaller in numbers than the masses. That said, again, there's a whole lot of really hard work to keep tangata whenua rights and interests and our responsibilities to our whenua at the fore in these policy spaces. I think we need to be really mindful that any responses to climate change have to be connected to social justice. They have to be connected to te tiriti first and foremost, and they have to consider, you know, climate justice. What does it mean to think about a climate resilient future that recognises the responsibilities of partnership in te tiriti, that recognises the rangatiratanga of tangata whenua in this land? All of those things to me are intimately connected. We can't separate them out. And so we need to have those hard conversations about rangatiratanga. We need to have all of those conversations if we're to make meaningful change with regards to climate change as well.
Is there anything final you wanted to add to this korero?
Oh, I just want to acknowledge all of the mana whenua groups who are working really hard day in and day out and who are doing multiple things. You know, usually as kaitiaki, you're not just kaitiaki in one area. You're usually responding to a whole lot of different events. And, you know, in a global pandemic, in a climate crisis type environment, it's a massive amount of work. It's a massive amount of work with very little recognition. So I just want to acknowledge all of those rōpū and say how privileged we feel as a business to be able to work alongside mana whenua in a range of different ways to be able to do that.
That was Dr. Naomi Simmons, the co-director of Tuanuku, on the relationship between tangata whenua and environmental policy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.